I want to talk now a little bit about one of the greatest technological feats of all time. 50 years ago tomorrow, the Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepped onto the lunar surface of the moon, or did they? You've been seeing a lot of coverage about this week. It's been unavoidable turning on the television. I was saying earlier this week that I remember, where I was 50 years ago on the day. I was 6 and I was mad that Mr. Dress-Up wasn't on. But, still, I get it. I get why everyone else was excited. There's a great IMAX documentary called Apollo 11 right now, which if you haven't seen, go see this thing. It's so beautiful. And it's not just a time capsule of the moment when all this happened, but it's just a beautifully made film. So go see this. But not everyone agrees. Not everyone agrees with me that people actually walked on the moon. Nathan Radke, the cultural theory professor at Humber College, is a specialist in conspiracy theories and co-host of the Uncover Up podcast. And we're going to talk about how the moon landing conspiracy theory lives on 50 years after Apollo 11, but why? Nathan, welcome to the Night Side.
Thanks for having me on.
So first of all, I guess let's just sort of lay some, let's make the bed here a little bit. Why do people believe in conspiracy theories? We'll start there and then we'll move our way into this one specifically.
Well, I think in general, people believe in conspiracy theories because the human brain is an amazing thing. And one of the things that it can do really well is find patterns. And this is great. It helps keep us alive. If it wasn't for that ability, we never would have been able to survive because It helps us find threats. It helps us to predict things that are going to happen. But sometimes that amazing ability we have to find patterns, it misfires a little bit.
Right.
And it shows us patterns that aren't really there. And that's what a lot of conspiracy theories are. There are people sort of looking at a bunch of information, which might just be a bunch of meaningless noise, and turning it into something that it really isn't.
And how long was it after June 20th, 1969, that conspiracy theories started to bubble up to the surface?
Interestingly, it was almost immediately. There was a James Bond movie, which I believe came out in 1971.
Yep, that's Diamonds Are Forever, yeah.
Yeah, and in that, there is sort of a very quick joke where he runs through a movie studio and they're filming a moon landing there.
That's right.
So almost immediately, people started to sort of pick up on this idea that maybe it had been faked.
And where do you think that this came from? Was it simply, we talk about patterns and that kind of thing in people's brains, but do you think it was simply that people just couldn't wrap their heads around the idea that, we could go to another planet?
I think it in part was a question of timing. Because the moon landing happens in the late 1960s. At this point, there had been a lot of suspicious assassinations in the United States, and people were becoming more distrustful of their government. And then by the time the 1970s rolls around, all sorts of actual conspiracies that the American government had been up to were exposed. Mm-hmm. Things like FBI spying programs like COINTELPRO, or CIA mind control programs like MKUltra. And then, of course, at the very top in the 1970s, you had Nixon and Watergate. Mm-hmm. So the idea that people became suspicious of their government, I think, is kind of a reasonable response to that.
Yeah, that the sort of eroded belief that the government is always going to tell you the truth and they're there to for the good of the people.
Exactly.
And so what are some of these? I mean, the one that I'm most familiar with is that, in a Hollywood studio somewhere, they got Stanley Kubrick and shot this thing, and that's why it's so grainy, and they didn't want they didn't want it to be crystal clear because then you might be able to see that there's a Hollywood set behind it, but that's what it was meant to look like for them. What are some of these conspiracy theories?
Well, a lot of the premises that people point to are things that when you first hear them, they sound pretty convincing. Mm-hmm. One of the most famous ones is that in the photographs, you can't see any stars.
Right.
And when you first hear that, you think, oh, wait a second, they were out in space, there's no atmosphere, they should have seen stars all over the place. But then, of course, once you start to look into it and you realize, well, it was during the lunar day, the cameras were set up so that they would only be open enough so that they could capture the well-lit moon surface, and they wouldn't have been able to capture the stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same way when if I go out with my phone tonight and try to take a picture of the stars, it'll look like a blank sky.
Right.
Other people have pointed to the fact that the flag appears to be waving, and they say, aha, there's no air on the moon. Why is this flag waving? Which is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at the footage, you realize that the flag is only waving when one of the astronauts is twisting the pole.
Right.
So, only, of course, it's kinetic energy.
And so these conspiracy theories, and I'm sure there are more, and will you stick with us after traffic? We've just we've got to go in a minute or so.
Sure.
Will you hang around? So how in the 70s were these disseminated? Because we've just got about a minute left here. But there was no internet. You know, there was no real mainstream way for these theories to be disseminated, or was there?
Well, you had to do it the old-fashioned way back then. And one of the most popular ways this particular theory moved around was actually a self-published pamphlet
right.
by a guy called Bill Kaysing, who claimed that he had worked on the project and said he was a whistleblower and he was uncovering the whole thing.
We're going to take a quick break right now, but this is fascinating. Nathan Radke, the cultural theory professor at Humber College, he's a specialist in conspiracy theories, and he's the co-host of the Uncover Up podcast. Where can people find that podcast?
It can be found for free on iTunes, SoundCloud, or basically anywhere you get your podcast.
Absolutely everywhere you find podcasts. It's called the Uncover Up podcast. Nathan Radke is my guest. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversations about the moon landing. Happened 50 years ago today, although according to my texter here from Newmarket, it is fake.
I am on the surface.
Roger, Capricorn. We copy.
Houston, I am on the ladder.
Ready, Slow-Mo.
Houston, I'm stepping onto the surface.
Take Slow-Mo.
Walker should be activating the tape soon with a pre-recorded message from the president.
Houston, I am starting the tape.
To the men of Capricorn 1, I bring you greetings from your fellow Americans and all of the citizens of the world. You are so far away. It takes light more than 20 minutes to reach you from here.
This is The Night Side with Barb DiGiulio. Filling in, it's Richard Krause on News Talk 1010.
That was a clip from Capricorn 1. That's a 1978 film which portrays a faked human landing on Mars. And it ties into what we're talking about. 50 years ago, tomorrow, was Apollo 11. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin stepped onto the moon's surface and a giant leap for mankind. And a lot of people seem to think that this didn't happen. There's been conspiracy theories almost since the very second that the event happened. And in fact, opinion polls over the years regularly show that around 5% of Americans believe that the Apollo moon landings were faked. That is according to NASA chief historian Roger Lanius. That's more than 16 million people, assuming that the U.S. population is 327, give or take, million, give or take. So that's a whole lot of people that don't believe that. So to sort of give us a little bit of background on this and to keep us talking about this, we brought in Nathan Radke, cultural theory professor at Humber College, specialist in conspiracy theories, and the co-host of the Uncover Up podcast. Welcome back, Nathan. Thanks for staying on the line.
Oh, no problem.
So we've talked about two things. So you couldn't see the stars and it looked like the flag was waving. Those have both been explained away. Are there others that are a little harder to explain away? Other reasons that people think that this was faked?
Well, I mean, people have pored over these photographs and the footage. And sometimes there will be a strange reflection in one of the astronaut's visors. Or there will be a hair on one of the photographs that looks like maybe it could be a letter, like a prop number that's written on one of the rocks
right.
by accident.
Right.
But I have yet come across any premise that can't be explained in kind of a reasonable way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because I think people really do want to believe that this is true. And it's fascinating to me that there are 16 million people out there that don't believe it. In fact, we're hearing from some people on the text board here, and this is a question that comes up often. So if it did happen, you know, why haven't we gone back in modern history?
All right. I mean, that's an excellent question. And actually, I'm sure that a lot of the people who are texting in right now have very good questions. Mm-hmm. Because the people who tend to believe in conspiracy theories tend to be intelligent, like well-informed people. But there are reasons why they never went back to the moon. And the main one was that the entire purpose, or almost the entire purpose of the moon mission wasn't really scientific. It was symbolic. Mm-hmm. Because there wasn't anything on the moon that we needed. What the Americans did need to do is prove to the rest of the world that they could get there before the Soviet Union. Because, of course, you can't talk about the space race without talking about the Cold War.
That's right.
And that race to the moon was in some ways more a symbolic act than it was a scientific one.
And that's exactly what sort of people are saying here on the text board. People are chiming in here. Someone from Toronto named Billy texted in, "It is fake. I hear they tested people in Toronto in 1967 faking the Leafs Stanley Cup win, LOL." So that's another conspiracy theory that I'm not sure that I've heard before, but thanks for chiming in with that, Billy.
That one gets more believable every year.
That's right. That's right. Now, the person from Newmarket who is most sort of steadfast in his belief that it didn't happen is the one that said, "Why have we not gone to modern history?" And he's just responded, or she, "No good answer."
Oh, well, I guess, I mean, it's an extremely expensive thing to do.
Yeah.
And something that people have forgotten is that it actually wasn't that popular at the time.
Right.
There was an unpopular war that was really starting to gear up. There was a lot of conversation at the time that this was a very expensive waste of money. We remember this as a great scientific triumph, but what's interesting is that at the time, people weren't as excited about it as we remember them being.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, anytime you have a massive government expenditure, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to ask the question, isn't there a way for us to spend this money better?
I do remember when it happened. I don't know how old you are, but I was about six when this happened. And I do remember it. And it's vague for me. And as I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard, I was upset that Mr. Dressup wasn't on more than anything, really. But,
well, of course.
But my father owned a furniture store. And at one place, he had all these showrooms. He had a row of televisions, like a wall of televisions. And I'm not sure how many it would have been. I remember it being enormous. It was probably maybe 10 televisions. And you could turn them all on. They were all wired up. And I remember all 10 of them, or however many there were, being turned on, and a lot of people gathered around. Like, the store was full of people just sort of socializing and hanging out. People were very interested in seeing it happen. When, I mean, maybe not happy about the money, maybe not happy about that, but the idea that we could possibly land on the moon kind of blew people's minds.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the most extraordinary things that humans have ever been able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that talking about conspiracy theories, which is something that you do on your podcast, the Uncover Up podcast, do you think that it just gives air to these kind of theories?
This is the question that we always ask ourselves, because there's always the danger. If you're trying to debunk something,
mm-hmm.
often what ends up happening is that you can't debunk something without repeating all of the claims. And then sometimes what happens is people will pay attention to the claims being repeated, but then less attention to the debunking aspect of it.
Right.
I mean, we all have the tendency, all of us, including me, to pay more attention to those ideas that already agree with what we already think.
Mm-hmm.
It's called confirmation bias. And so that's why it's possible for two people to listen to the exact same argument and come away with it with completely different perspectives. But I think that, like, these things are getting talked about anyway. And so, well, I think we have a responsibility to try to separate the ones which are true, because there are some real conspiracies out there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those real conspiracies are shocking and disturbing. But we have a responsibility to uncover those ones, while at the same time not get distracted by the ones which aren't true.
Newmarket continues to fill up the text board with texts that say things like, "Didn't happen." "Yep, didn't happen." So, you know, our friend in Newmarket is very sold on this idea. And I guess that, you know, as we said earlier, there's 16 million Americans out there. I don't know how many Canadians that translates into, but, you know, let's imagine that there are 5% of Canadians out there that really believe that this didn't happen.
I'm sure it's true. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a higher number than that.
Is that true? Yeah. And why so? Just from anecdotal evidence?
Just anecdotal evidence. And because these days I feel like there's so much information that we have access to because of the internet, that I feel like conspiracy theories in a way have been freed from like pamphlets and booklets. Now they're everywhere. They show up in your Facebook feed. They show up on Instagram. Like we're more exposed to conspiracy theories now than we ever have been in history.
Nathan, thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
What a lot of fun to talk to you. Thank you. That's Nathan Radke, cultural theory professor at Humber College, specialist in conspiracy theories, and the co-host of the Uncover Up podcast.